Hey, y'all, please rate and review us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It helps folks like you find us through search so they can learn more about wine. We will read any review. It doesn't even have to be pertinent to our podcast, so long as it's rated 5 stars.
Just don't be offensive.
Yeah, just don't be a D-bag. And yeah, just thank you guys so much for listening to us.
Please be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, episode 6.
So many. 6.
6 what?
It's so many. It's more than 5 and less than 7.
6 is actually, like, supposed to be my lucky number.
Oh, really?
It's my birth number. Yeah. But I'm born July 23rd.
Uh-huh.
So I always affiliated, like, 7, 2, 3 as, like, lucky numbers. But yeah. 2 times 3 is 6. And I don't know, 7 minus 6 is 1, and that's...
I imagine there's a lot of ones that add up to 6, because I'm 24, so it's like 2 and 4.
Yeah.
But like, what's 3 plus 2 plus 4 plus 8 plus 9?
And also, you're in March, which is 3.
Mm-hmm. So that's half of 6.
And then we're back to 2. and 2 divided by 2 is 1, which is...
Yeah, there we go.
Numbers.
Numerology, math.
We have 2 drinks in our...
Oh, yeah.
One hand each. So I made us little spritzes with the lovely Bruto Americano.
So good.
So good. Some red vermouth, a little drop of orange bitters, and some soda water.
It's really tasty.
It's a good drink, right?
It's a really nice little aperitivo. Like, I want to drink this at brunch.
And I love a spritz in a pint glass. Versus, like, wine glass is cute, but a little dainty. I feel like I like to handle my spritz a little bit more, like, with gusto.
I like a Collins glass.
Yes, but we partake.
Right.
We partake in the spirits. Of spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. It's just, I really like the shape of a Collins glass.
Yep, me too.
In comparison to, like, a tumbler.
Yeah, sure. Hashtag spirits of the spirit. Spirits of spirit.
Spirits of spirit.
I just love creating hashtags. Last week for this past episode, it was hashtag Band-Aid is fair game.
I don't even remember what that was about.
Oh, because we were talking about the taste of a Band-Aid in wine.
Oh, yeah. Band-Aid is fair game.
Yeah.
Anything's fair game.
And that happened, I believe, during the Vivino Wars area. Hashtag Vivino Wars. Which we'll have to do again for this episode.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really excited about that. I think that's going to be really fun.
Cool beans. So we should start with a wine quote of the day. So Fiona, you have a wine quote for us today.
Yeah, a little more pop culture this time around. I'm not totally convinced that Zooey Deschanel herself said this, but rather that it comes from her show New Girl. Pink wine makes me slutty. And you know what? Not same, actually.
Not same?
Not same. I wouldn't say
pink wine. It's not like an aphrodisiac.
No, it keeps me, like, classy in a certain way.
Pink wine? I mean, if I'm truly drinking pink wine I like, yeah, I'm elevated.
But it's a good time, but it's like drinking these. It's like drinking these spritzes.
I would never drink like rosé, like group rosé though. It's like probably gonna be bad.
It's gonna, group rosé,
like if you're with a group of like gal pals.
Oh, we're drinking a box of Franzia.
Someone broke it out. Yeah,
someone broke out the box of Franzia.
Or there's that wine company by the same guy who's the fat Jewish. He does the white girl rosé.
Oh, does that guy do that?
Yeah, that's him. I heard he's actually good, but like, I just can't get around to trying it.
I just assumed that was all part of... Do you remember white girl problems from Twitter from like 10 years ago?
That was probably him as like from an anonymous account.
Right, I didn't realize that.
He dominated like the mid-2010s. I mean, he's like wealthy at this point, yeah. Well, good for him. If he wants to sponsor our podcast, I'm not saying that we would do anything necessarily different, but...
I mean, I would try that wine.
Sure, I would try the wine.
I was a huge fan of White Girl Problems. Like,
yeah, I've heard the White Girl Rosé is actually good, but...
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
I just, like, if you were to look at my Twitter, like, history, it's, like, back from 2010, is all me reposting White Girl Problems.
Hashtag White Girl Problems.
Hashtag White Girl
Problems. And did we learn anything?
No.
Exactly. Correct answer. All right, so we are trying a really cool wine today. I actually haven't even tasted it yet.
Mm-mm. I'm just trying to get, like, a good...
It's another skin contact, so we're kind of... We're back-to-back skin contact.
I feel like nose is, like nectarines.
Yeah, for sure.
Like stone fruit, but, like...
White peach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The taste is similar, too. This is a really pretty wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what Jolie tasted like before I had it in my fridge for too long.
Gorgeous color. It's like a pink orange. And I will preface with why that's like even more apropos. This producer, how do we say this name?
Eno. What is how it's phonetically spelled on Eno. This website.
Really cool producer, woman led. Mm-hmm. From like Sonoma County, mm-hmm. Russian River area, like Healdsburg, based in Healdsburg, yeah. California.
Yeah, and these grapes in particular are Russian River Valley grapes.
The bottle says, Eno is the ancient Greek word for wine, as well as a nickname for a goddess who is known to turn water into wine. And it begins to speak to the wine. It says, delicious pink golden wine made from a blend of skin contact grapes, hints of stone fruit and citrus with a strong backbone. Mm-hmm. It's Chardonnay. It's mostly Chardonnay and then also a little bit of like 5% Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. They do call this wine a rosé wine as well, which is really interesting because it is a skin contact on the label. This producer does have their own rosé wine, which we have not drank. But I presume they're calling it a rosé wine because of their use of Pinot Noir grapes.
It's just so interesting because I'm trying to find something on their website about it. And like, first of all, I was having trouble finding this on their website.
Uh-huh.
And then like the reviews that I'm reading of it are calling it orange wine. And so it's, you know,
it's like maybe it was a misprint on the label. I don't know.
You know, or like maybe, I don't know, you know, like
it has slightly a pinkish gold. There is a pinkish golden hue.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting color.
I would say salmon. I would say salmon color. Yeah.
That's totally.
Like salmon roe.
Yep.
Like, It does have more like Chardonnay. Like when I said the thing about that Julie Lade wine, that was a little more floral, because mm-hmm. it was Trousseau Gris. And this definitely has like that weightiness of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
It's
like light acid, juicy. From that skin tonic that we had last week, it is not milky or sweet in the way the Semillon was on that last skin contact. This is more like stone fruit.
And that lemon citric. Is really, yeah, yes. Like that like bite
this
comes through.
This is what we more prefer. I would, yeah. If we got a bottle of this, I would not mind.
No, I would really enjoy this. Yes. This is also great, like day wine or like 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Like super pretty.
Yeah, it's great. Finish is like a little lingering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got like a longer finish, probably because of the Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Great wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you rate this? You can only do whole numbers.
3.5.
Okay. All right.
3.5, 4.
Okay. Pick one.
You can do half ratings on.
Yeah, but you said 3.5 or 4. So pick the
3.5.
One. 3.5.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay.
Just so that, I mean, I'll probably round down to 3.5. It's a really good wine.
It's a really good wine. Yeah. I would definitely drink it again.
Now we should create our poem for this wine.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I went first last week.
Okay, great. My turn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Peach vineyard on a hot summer's eve.
A goddess emerges from a river bearing a cornucopia of grapes.
I look over in shock and wonder and ask, would you like to sit for a picnic?
She says, no, can't, busy, and I'm left alone. But the weather's nice out.
So I have a picnic by myself.
It's fine.
Could be worse.
Could be better.
Sure.
I was like, you want to finish the damn poem?
There was right there. Sure.
I was like, I'm going to elongate this thing. Yeah. It's going to be the funniest looking thing I've ever seen. Oh, man. So, we are doing a new section,
mm-hmm.
and it's show and tell,
mm-hmm.
but it's me and Fiona basically telling the void that is our audience something that we didn't know or had known but was curious about why it was the way it was,
mm-hmm.
In the world of wine as it pertains to wine. So, there are no wrong answers. And Fee, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. So something that I learned recently is like you can grow wine anywhere from 30 to 50 degrees latitude on either end of the world. And I know like that feels really vague. Like I don't understand it myself. I have to like I was just Googling for maps to be like where is 30 degrees latitude? Where is 50 degrees latitude? Apparently, it's like northern England to like Morocco, and as it turns out, Mexico is at like a similar latitude as like Morocco, which means that like you can grow wine almost anywhere in the continental United States,
yeah.
And like you can even grow wine up into Canada, which is just Mind-boggling. So the thing that I found the most interesting is that Texas has like one of the largest ABA, so American Viticultural Areas in the U.S. And we were just talking about like, where do you see this wine? And I'm like, I don't know, probably Francia.
I've never had a Texas wine, and I think that that should be an assignment for us for our future episode is to drink a bottle of Texan wine.
And not only that, but like the largest like grape growing region is the Mississippi River Valley, which I was like, what?
Yeah. Like, when have you ever had a wine that was like situated along the Mississippi River?
It doesn't make sense. And I'm not totally sure about like what the boundaries are still. Like, what is that like land quantifiable? Like, is it just that there's a bunch of land and like not a ton of vines? Like, I'm not, that piece of it, I'm not totally sure on. I still need to look, little bit greater like specificity. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason that you end up seeing so much California wine is because of like the 70s where like they took the Napa Chardonnay to that like French there's a movie about it. They took this Napa Chardonnay to this like French wine.
It's not sideways.
I should ask my friend what it's called. It's I should have this at the top of my head. I can Google it, but it'll take me a little while.
What is it that like what happens?
So it's the people who bottle this like perfect, so called quotes perfect bottle of Chardonnay that they bring to this like really prestigious like wine competition in France, and it wins at, like, because they do a blind tasting to say which wine is the best. Like,
it was probably super buttery and oaky.
Oh yeah, it was probably disgusting.
And the judge was probably my grandma.
No, it was like French guys. Like what's his face? Snape.
Professor, like
the actor.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. What's? Oh my god. Rickman. Alan Rickman. He's in it.
Oh, he's in the movie. He's not in the movie. He's not one of the judges.
He's one of the judges in the movie, but not in real life. He's a little too young, even though he did pass away a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So that helps me find it a little bit.
For mine. I just was really curious about how you can open a bottle of wine without a corkscrew, because haven't really done that. And
Sounds hard.
I mean, one is like you wrap the bottle with a towel and you use the wall to smack it out. And this website, vinepair.com, basically says you simply wrap the bottom of the wine bottle in a thick towel or two to be safe, and then bang it against a wall repeatedly. Now, the bottle may break if you do this, so consider it as a last resort. You can also, as a safer method, also slap it out with a shoe, which is safer than banging against a wall. You also, if you own a blowtorch and the wine bottle is a room temp, you can use heat and put a blowtorch to the bottom of the wine to make the cork come out. Unfortunately, if you do, if that cork is really stuck in that bottle, which I've seen happen a little too often in my life, not from my hands, but other people around me, usually men who are too strong and must push down the cork into the wine.
Wow.
You can push the cork in with the handle of a wooden spoon, and then obviously you'll probably benefit having a decanter in this moment, is you can just use a strainer and pour it out through a decanter. The one method that Fiona did think was actually like a suitable method of this list was, I've saved it for the end, using a screw and a screwdriver, and you put the screw through the cork with the screwdriver. And then you take the backside of a hammer, lock it under the screw, and pull the cork out.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And, like, those are objects that, like, you have around for the most part. I mean, I don't, but that's because I am entirely unprepared.
You don't have a toolkit at all?
I do not. Oh, I have, like, a couple of screwdrivers that, like...
You don't have a proper toolkit.
I don't have a proper toolkit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to get a proper toolkit.
I understand.
Yeah. We'll use our ad money from Anchor.
Yeah, please, guys. More listens
and Fiona can get hashtag. Fiona gets a toolkit.
My dad listens to this. He's like, why don't you have a toolkit? What's going on?
You're like, life's hard, Dad.
It's hard. I just call my landlady. So I found the name of the movie that I was talking about. Uh-huh. It's called Bottle Shock.
Bottle Shock. What year is this movie?
The movie itself was produced in 2008, but it's about the... Blind Paris tasting of 1976. It's now infamous. The Judgment of Paris is what it's become known, apparently.
Heard that.
Yeah, so everybody, Bottle Shock, Alan Rickman's in it. It's fun.
I need to watch it. All right, so now we're doing our beloved section, Vivino Wars. Insert sound effect later.
Yeah, exactly.
Follow up on us with that, y'all, because I really want like a real meaty, like monster truck battle sound for that. But Fiona and I are going to be dishing tea on two wines on Vivino that we've personally had, and we're going to pick two reviews that are not ours, and we're going to read both live on air, well, live right now, but you will listen to it like a week later. And we are going to decide who is the winner of that Vivino war. So, Fee, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah.
So what wine did you pick?
So I picked this wine. It's a Greek red wine. I do not speak Greek. I do not.
Thankfully, probably none of our listeners do. Yeah. Too.
The way that it looks is Vlahiko. Vlahiko.
Okay.
It's an indigenous grape to Ionia, Greece. It's really good, light-bodied, fun, funky. I drank it with a friend 2019, I guess. Jeez, it feels like last year.
Did you get the bottle at a wine store?
I got the bottle at Lou's, which is probably my favorite wine store. It's in Los Feliz.
Hashtag Lou's.
Hashtag Lou's. They're great. And Lou himself is, like, one of the nicest guys. If anybody lives anywhere around Los Feliz, like, that should be your wine store. Because mm-hmm. he, like, everybody there is so knowledgeable, so nice, so, like, cool. Really, really helpful. So the two reviews that I have found, first we have Nate S., their review is, really enjoyed this much to my pleasant surprise. Forest floor, orange blossom, blackberry, strong but smooth. Recommended air and a chill. Which I think I remember. Yeah, you want a little air. You definitely want to drink it on the cooler side. Like a little below cellar temp.
Uh-huh.
So I agree with that. Meanwhile, we have Megan Allison Wade. She reviews 4.5 stars. Rotting fish on the nose, but a party in the glass. Greek wines are weird and dusty, but not overly acidic. And this one is lovable. And you know what? Like, girl, I feel you.
So who's the winner there?
I mean, like, I would have to revisit. But honestly, I'm going with Nate. Like, I prefer Nate's forest floor versus the rotting fish.
Was
on
there
the
a fish nose? Do you remember?
I don't remember it being a fishy nose. I would say more forest floor, like
barnyardy.
Dirt. Yeah,
because like I know what fish smells like. It's like oceany, kind of like. So, like,
I would say there's definitely salinity to
it's like
it,
sushi,
but it's I wouldn't like, say yeah. I would say more like it's deciduous trees mid fall, like things are rotting
like wet leaves,
yeah,
in Vermont,
yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
I know it, yeah. So I know her well. I know this wine well.
Yeah.
All right, so well, who won that?
Nate.
Nate.
Nate S.
Nate S.
Nate S. I was right. I was
Nate
right.
S. You won the Vivino War.
Yeah, next time you're listening, man.
At this moment, you get our approval.
Yeah, you get our accolades and approval.
Drum roll, please. You get our approval. And I'm reviewing this wine called Fuzzy Toot. It's like Fuzzy Toot. It is 2018. I believe I'm reading that people are writing Domestique as the producer, but I also see it as La Ferme du Plateau. I'm not sure on this producer. It's probably Domestique. Everyone in the reviews is writing Domestique. So this one is super cool. It's a blend. It's Coulot and Cab Franc, which are like, you know, red wines, and then it has Chenin Blanc, a white wine. I love like a red that can drink like a white. This one... it's just all over the place in terms of, like, the salinity and the stone fruit of the Chenin Blanc, but, like, meatiness of the Cab Franc and more, like, earthiness. And the Grulot I haven't had too much of, but, like, Fee and I used to love this one wine that we shortened and called the Bainbridge, and it was, like, a Grulot that we used to chill, and it was mm-hmm. slightly effervescent, carbonic, mm-hmm. kind of, like, really just plummy and really... like,
yeah, cassis, yeah, like dark raspberry, fruit, yeah. Raspberry.
It was delicious. So this was that flavor was incorporated in this wine as well. And I was drinking it at Melody Bar in Los Angeles, which is a really fun, hot, happening place that is in the Virgil Village area.
They also, like, they're like wine store / wine bar, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Lolo.
Like Lolo, yeah. The way the spaces, the way that you interact with the spaces are a bit different. But the Melody Lounge is like, the Melody Bar kind of lounge is more like the perimeter of the space. And you have to like... enter and like kind of walk into the wine store while Lolo you walk in and like the wine store just happens to be in the back, so it's interesting how you engage with these spaces, especially during like COVID. But anyway, so this wine I picked out two reviews and they're pretty similar to each other, so I'm curious to see who's gonna win this war. First I'll go with Dylan Simmel, and they rated it 4.5 stars.
Ooh.
And they go, sometimes you can get in a rhythm watching the same shows, eating the same things, drinking the same wines. This wine is a refresher that there are other things out there. Beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's really pretty.
Said nothing about
yeah,
the wine.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting myself
but
into.
But it was a feeling that I really appreciated.
Yeah, I connect with that.
So then we also have a 4.0 review from Lily Riesling.
Alrighty.
That might be a fake name.
Sounds like a screen name, yeah.
This person writes, gorgeous. More wine needs to be like this, : a fruity, low ABV experience with depth and richness, but never stops being fun. the bright pop of Shannon, the meat of Cap Franc, the marshy muck of Brulot, fuzzy tout indeed. So they're both amazing reviews, but I have to give it to Dylan.
Okay, well, I thought we were gonna
be left to that. Okay, wait. Rewind, you didn't hear that. So I have to give it to Dylan!
Hey, Dylan!
Dylan, you didn't say much about the wine, but sometimes when you describe a wine, you're describing the emotional feeling
of it. You're describing a vibe. You're not necessarily describing
the flavor. I'm all about the storytelling and the synesthesia of wine description. So.
That's also why I didn't want to give it to the girl who said fermented fish. I was like, that makes me not want to drink it.
Sometimes fish is good with wine, or like as a feature of wine, but in a red wine, more like a rosato.
More like a rosato. Although this Greek wine drinks like a rosato. So
the red that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe she was actually on the mark.
I just have to get it again. Yeah. Is really what
looks like you're taking a trip to lose. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah.
And slamcha.
Slamcha.
And we'll be drinking wine with you soon.
Hopefully. Cheers.
Slam talk to you later.